Welcome everyone to the We're Libertarians Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Hody Johns, and I am joined by my friend, actually real life friend, Brendan Dahl. Brendan, how are you doing today?
Yep, good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, man. Doing great. It's great to have you on the show. I am so glad that you take an interest in that type of thing. It's always nice, you know, my personal life, I am very much supported in that my family loves me and says, man, I'm so glad that you're doing what you're doing, that you're happy doing it. But not many viewers. So you're one of the few viewers of all of my my content. I think my family just knows where I stand on all the issues. So they're like, well, I don't really need to follow them along, you know. So, but it's nice when somebody actually follows you along here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Brendan, we talked about the pro-choice side of the issue with Alicia Dern just a couple of days ago. And I, of course, wanted to get your thoughts on being on the pro-life side of things. I created a post where I attempt to split the wickets on this. I am very much pro-choice politically and very much pro-life personally. And so I entitled her pro-choice in the law and yours pro-choice in the culture. And so we're just going to talk about, I want to present both sides in as best of light as I can. Obviously, I got to play a little bit of devil's advocate on a few things, but I just wanted to present both sides and kind of the you know, flesh out the worries as well as the intellectual arguments to have there. So just tell me about your feelings on pro-life just in general.
So I guess I could say kind of when I was younger, I would say probably late teens, early 20s, I really didn't have an interest in it. I was too young to probably even really care about it. So I kind of had that opinion of pro-choice. I don't really care, you know, pro-choice. But as I got older, you know, serving in the military, kind of experiencing a lot of stuff in my life these last probably 12 years since kind of becoming an adult, I've kind of started changing my opinion on that. Nowadays it's impossible to not see politics every day. It's just the world and the culture we're in, especially these last 2 years, 2-3 years. So just having it in your face a lot, it's almost kind of cemented that value and almost made me even more firm on my decision to be pro-life. So that's just kind of the gist of it.
Sure. It's the introduction. I think it's as good a place as any to start. It's hard because it is a youthful thing. I think one of the difficult parts on this issue is the more science that we add to it, the less clear the issue has become. And I have, and for me, I love to get to that black and white point where I just say, well, clearly this side is right all of the time.
Absolutely.
Now,
yeah.
I don't want to beat around the bush here. All of this discussion was based on a post that I made where I presented both sides of the issue as best I could. And I think that post went really well because the trolls on it were ignored, which is what I Absolutely. Want to have happen. I have friends and I love them and I love passionate opinions. But I created the post and I specifically said at the beginning, this is for people that are able to be open-minded about it. And some Absolutely. Of the not open-minded people decided to join in and they were not responded to, which is my ideal. That's what I always
absolutely.
Hope for.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody's like, man, like, no, don't feed the trolls, please. And thankfully
exactly.
they got ignored. So now let's talk about just some pro-life things. I know my experience of it might match maybe some of your understanding or your experience with it. I, of course, worked at a hospital. I explained this before, but I'll explain it again. I didn't like what I saw. I think it's one thing to say you're pro-life or pro-choice intellectually and philosophically, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when I saw them performed and saw them practiced, I definitely did not get a great feeling. It's hard to mandate my feelings, but at the same, you know, in the doctors, we didn't do anything that I would, I guess, say is blatantly unethical, especially if you just consider it a clump of cells. Mm-hmm. But to watch a fetus wriggle away from a euthanasia needle sucks. To see or to hear the sound of the clamp going down on the brain sucks. And it's just one of those feelings that I think I can't get away from. And so for me, that experience, even more than my intellectual experience, because I think your morals have to come above anything that you could try to inform or tell yourself. And my personal morals on the feeling, I just don't know if there's an intellectual argument that could be made that says, oh yeah, that was cool what happened. Like, that was totally, totally legit. I mean, does that match with what would you have to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I can dive way into that. I've got a lot of things I want to say about that whole issue, but I do agree with you. I guess my whole agenda is obviously, people that have made up their minds are made up. So that was kind of why I wanted to come on here. Obviously people that are pro-choice. They're going to be pro-choice. They don't want to hear anything pro-life, but that goes for pro-lifers as well. Myself, I don't have any inkling to ever want to change my mind to that side. Not stubbornness of it. It's just, I'm very set in my ways and my process of being pro-life. Like you just explained, I read that in that post that you put up that night, and it just hit me. It hit me, especially with this whole issue being all over the news lately because of Alabama and Georgia and Missouri. So I kind of already had the feelings kind of brought into it again because of the things that were happening there. But that post, the way you worded it that night was really, to me, it kind of struck a chord with me, I guess you could say. I personally have never been in an abortion clinic, Planned Parenthood. I've never been there. I've never seen the process. I know the process. I've heard the process.
Yeah.
I have never witnessed it, and I don't think I could ever stand in that room and go through like what you just said that you went through. I would have bailed out of that room long, long before then. So, I guess the reason I really wanted to come on here was for the people that are on the fence, the people that really don't know which way to go with it. You can think, well, I could see the reasons for it. However, you know, like you just explained, that process of how it's done just sounds barbaric. You know, those people that are kind of in the in-between are really the people I want to focus on and kind of explain the pro-life side and explain the reasons I feel so passionate about that. You know, I know it's brought up all the time. Well, it's just a clump of cells. It's just a clump. In my opinion, it's really not. That is a strand of DNA that nobody on this planet, past, present, or future, will ever have. To me, that is a very special gift that happened, and to be able to just take that away and have that decision. You can make that decision to end it because of convenience or because of whatever they feel the reason to have to do it is. To me, that is more than a clump of cells. That is something unique that will never be seen again.
Right. And it really is, I think, and the one thing that the science, I guess, to me does confirm, even though people will say, well, this is when it becomes a human life. We acknowledge it's life right away.
Yes.
But when does it become a human life? When is it a human being, I guess, is what we want to say. And some people, yep. I mean, everybody's got their own standard when they, you know, a lot of people say when it's viable outside of the womb. But there's many lives that are not viable outside the womb without intercession that, because of science, we can now make viable. They just need some help, you know, exactly. So that's a gray area. It does develop its own genetic code immediately. And that is hard. You know, it slowly develops the chromosomes and completes that formatting, but it begins that process of the genetic formation.
Yep.
You know, the zygotes and everything just happen immediately. And so it's hard to get away from that when, if you say, well, as soon as it has its own DNA, well, that's conception, unfortunately, you know? And
yes.
So that's,
yes.
And here's the thing is when we let our hearts be our guide, I think some people say, well, morning after pill when it's still early on, maybe doesn't seem so bad. When they hear the cracking of the skull, like I'm describing, that feels worse,
yes.
You know? And so it is just, it is this total gray area. Now I am going to, I was a devil's advocate for Alicia on a couple of things. Uh-huh. I do want to keep this mostly focused on pro-life, but absolutely. I do want to bring up a couple of issues for you, mm-hmm. and how you would explain them just in fairness. So let's talk about invasion of privacy, I guess, a little bit. It is hard to be a pro-lifer and really stand as a strong advocate for privacy a lot of the time. The reason it is protected in Roe v. Wade, it protects it under the right to privacy. Roe v. Wade doesn't say it's a life or it's not a life. They just say it would be very invasive to get to that point. You know, you and I have worked in restaurants together, right? That's how we know each other, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, dram shop laws. If somebody drinks alcohol in your establishment, you're responsible for them getting home safely. Mm-hmm. And this is my worry, that abortion becomes one of those things, because then suddenly if these pro-life bills take place, I'm responsible for making sure that the mother's not pregnant. Now, in the case of alcohol, I'm not only responsible for making the person gets home alive and well. Tiger Woods is actually going through this right now. He owns a bar, and somebody drank too much, and he's on the hook for it because the guy drank too much and got killed on the way home. Right. And so but also, if you get a fake ID, you're responsible proving the ID is not fake. You're responsible for, you get fined $5,000 and you lose your job this year in Utah. You get your liquor license revoked. You can't work any place that serves liquor ever again, and all kinds of terrible things that happen if you serve a minor, even if you get their ID. If their ID wasn't them or is a fake ID, you're on the hook for it, right? Mm-hmm. And all these things. So what, I guess, then is the place to stop then? Because if we make you responsible for serving somebody alcohol at a restaurant, isn't it then also going to be some form of assault if you accidentally serve somebody who said they weren't pregnant, but you didn't do enough testing, just like the dram shop laws?
Yes. Going back to what you said about the privacy, mm-hmm. That was off of the, I believe it's the 14th Amendment. The right to privacy. With that amendment and Roe v. Wade, it's basically for you to have the right to put in your body whatever you want. It's that right to privacy. If you want to go around the corner, and this is a very libertarian view on it, if you want to go around the corner and shoot up some heroin, by all means, you know, I it's illegal, but I can't stop you from doing that, nor do I really care to stop you from doing that, because you want the right to privacy. That is your privacy. That is your right. I do agree with the right to privacy, the 14th Amendment. I do, because I don't want anyone else telling me how to.
Real quick, it is the Fourth Amendment.
Oh, the Fourth Amendment.
But you're good. Go ahead. Keep going.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess I do agree with that. However, where it stops for me is when there is another beating heart involved. I know that I can't tell you where she's out of. One of the governors or congress people said that because of this whole thing that went down in Alabama, she wants to make it now illegal for men to get vasectomies. You know, just kind of a throwback at you. To me, that is your own. This isn't me being a man trying to explain that away. However, that is your own appendage. If you, man or woman, want to go cut off your finger, go do it. I don't care. You know, that separate heartbeat is not yours to decide. I know it is in your body, but that is not your heart to decide on if it ends or not.
Right. So let's talk about the because that actually leads to my next of the two devil's advocate question I had. Then this is the next one, which is there's a lot of issues, and I think maybe even you would make exceptions for when it's okay to terminate a pregnancy. And I feel like most reasonable people would say, okay, it endangered the mother, and or it's got medical issues. There's this one great article from this girl who said she wished she had abortion from, and the title is very provocative, and I'm like, who would wish that? But she had a child that lived to 1 year old, no quality of life, was going to die even before it was born, hundreds of thousands of dollars in medical expenses, chronic pain the entire time, never achieved consciousness, eventually died. And I think everybody would be like, well, yeah, if you're avoiding something like that. So how do we navigate, from a pro-life position, how do we navigate those exceptions, those circumstances.
Okay, so I do know that people like to throw out that, well, what about rape and incest? I mean, you hear that constantly, right? I mean, that is a very small percentage of actual abortions. So I guess kind of my throwback with that is if we can come to the conclusion, I will come 50 if you come 50 with me. How about I agree that abortions are okay if it is incest or rape. However, all other abortions are bad then. Would that be something that they would consider? My thought, no, they wouldn't consider that because they want the choice and the right to have it when they, for whatever they feel they need. Convenience. That to me is you say these things like, well, isn't it more human and morally right to end this child's life than have it grow up in poverty and poor? My thought, first of all, how racist is that? You know, how racist is that you're going to end that life because he's going to grow up in, or she is going to grow up in a ghetto? That is a racist statement, because I think we all know majority of the people that grow up in those are of different ethnic races than white, you know? So you're justifying that against, you know, more of the people that grow up in a suburb, which happen to majority be white. To me, that's just a racist remark in and of itself. But I hate that is always thrown out there. Same with the incest and rape. I agree. Those are bad, bad things. But if we can agree that, okay, yes, abortions are okay for those, but everything else, no.
So would you make any exceptions then, like what I spoke on earlier, because there are other issues with medical complications. And I mean, it's a medical procedure. There's always going to be a danger involved. What is the percentage threshold at which you say, okay, this endangers the mother's life too much?
You're talking about the fetus, the actual baby itself.
Yeah.
That okay. I guess it, in my eyes, I agree with you. That's where I feel that human's life started at conception. I would never agree with an abortion. Period. Because whose right is it to make the call about that human's life? Look at Tim Tebow. I don't know if you know Tim Tebow's story. His mother was being told to have an abortion. Your kid is going to grow up with a bad quality of life. I can't remember what he had. I can't remember off the top of my head. But basically, she was getting pressured into an abortion because of that scare tactic, but because, and the doctor might have actually really thought that's what was going to happen, you know?
Right.
I think we all know what Tim Tebow turned out to be. So how is it your call to make that, I guess, is what I'm saying. I don't agree with it, period. I mean, am I going to feel bad for a child that is, you know, like the example you brought up, you know, in pain but that is that human's right to have that choice and to be able to fight for itself, I guess, to be able to, because not all of them are that extreme case. Like you said, there are cases like Tim Tebow where it didn't happen like it was supposed to happen.
Right. You operate on faulty information and you can make a bad decision, even if the person who gave you the information really believes that it will. Or sometimes the percentages don't work out. When somebody says, you know, there's a 90% chance this child is not viable, you know, me, I sit here and I'm like, well, who am I to kill somebody over a percentage? You know, doesn't that 1 in 10 chance give them a shot?
I mean, and like you said, okay, well, this child has a 90%. Well, I'm looking at, yeah, but what about that 10%?
Right.
You want to come at me with the 90. I get it. Mm-hmm. Those aren't very good odds, man. But you know what? I'm looking at that 10%. So you're telling me there is a 10% chance that it couldn't be that? So like you said, I can't – it's not moral for me to end a life on percentages anyway.
Right.
But I guess I look at the glass, you know, half full rather than half empty of, well, there is that 10% chance. Why end it on a, you know, you're giving it 10%. I mean, I guess if I was on my deathbed, and they said, you know what, you got a 90% chance that you're going to make it, or you got a 10% chance that you're going to make it to live till next month. I'm not going to say, all right, stick it in me, let's end this. I want to hear those. I want that 10% chance. I'm going to at least give it a shot, you know?
Right. And I think in the case of Tim Tebow, which, by the way, I'm a sports fan and a Christian, so of course I know all about Tim Tebow.
Yes.
You don't got to ask me about that. You know, I love me Tim Tebow. But, you know, it's not just his story. I think the famous one that went around before that was about Beethoven, right, where they say, like, oh, you got fetal alcohol syndrome combined with, you know, just horrible life circumstances at every way you paint it. And it's like, well, congratulations, you just aborted Beethoven. Now,
yes.
Is every child like this going to be Beethoven? Absolutely not.
No.
You know, we're not saying that at all. Those 90% odds work out 90% of the time, you know?
Like, exactly.
There's a lot of bad problems and a lot of mistakes that happen. But at the same time, when you err, would you rather err on the side of giving it zero chance or giving it that 10% chance, you know?
Well, look at it this way, too. On that same thought, this is just an example I use. This is a question I bring up when I'm talking to people about this exact part of the topic. Say you're deer hunting, right? You're out deer hunting. You go out with, like me, I grew up in Wisconsin. There was a group of us that went out. There's 5-6 of us that went out every morning. So I'm out deer hunting. I'm hunting for whitetail. And I hear rustling over there in the bushes. I got one of two options here. I could either assume that that's a white-tailed deer and shoot it, or I could err on the side of caution and wait until I know exactly what it is. You know, people like to say, well, you know, that it's not a baby until it comes out of the birth canal. It's not a baby until the third trimester. I mean, you got all this. Wouldn't you rather err on the side of caution regardless? You know, you're going to err on the side of caution with a lot of decisions in your life anyway. That, me personally, if that's my buddy back there and I shoot and kill him, I got to live with that. You know?
Oh, yeah. And this is really it for me, is I just say, yes, the morning after pill is not the cracking of the skull. I admittedly do feel differently about the morning after pill than I do about the early trimester, second trimester abortions that I saw performed, right? You know, that there really is a different feeling there for me. However,
yeah.
I wouldn't encourage the morning after pill either, because
no,
there's still
either.
that room for error, like what if, and for me that, yep, that rips me up, you know. Now this is, and we've said a lot of me personally during this, right? So mm-hmm. I was wondering, now we talked about in the context of the post that I made, I am very much I would like to see abortion gotten rid of, but not because we make it illegal, but because we create a culture that values that life.
Yes. Yes.
Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Cool.
I was actually watching a video on with Ben Shapiro talking about that. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about the issue. Somebody brought that up. Well, are you going to punish, you know, if we did make it illegal, right?
Right.
If it is illegal, it's going to happen anyway. It's going to, you know, kind of the black market of abortions, you know, you're going to have that.
Right.
And the question got brought up, are you going to charge the person performing it? Are you going to charge the woman having it, or both? And he brought up a great example, and I couldn't have answered it any better myself. He brings up, it's not the fact that we need to sit and we need to charge everybody with it. We need to change the mindset. We need to change the culture. Of course it's going to happen, right? Let's go on like the extreme end, right? 300,000 babies are killed a year due to an abortion. Mm-hmm. Let's say we change the culture. We do, you know, it is illegal. And there's still 50,000 babies a year killed on black market abortions, you know, okay. But on the flip side of that, there's 250,000 babies that were saved, you know?
Right.
So yes, I do agree with you, on that. I'm right there with you on that.
Yeah. Right. And so I I'm glad, and this is really why I wanted to bring you on, is because I just find that you keep saying, well, me personally, I wouldn't make this decision. And I'm like, well, do you think a politician would be any better? Is always the question that I want to ask people that want to come off as either too ardently pro-choice or pro-life. I'm just saying, don't you want politicians to get out of it? They are so inept with everything they do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you really believe that this is the one case that they're going to get it right? And we talk about all these, I find that, and I talked about this with Alicia, there's all these little exceptions that we would make. Some people, yes, morning after pill. Some people, no. Some people, this threshold of danger to the mother. You know, what threshold is that? That's going to be a sliding scale, you know? And I would just so much rather have that choice between a mother and a doctor, but I also want it to be done in a culture that values life.
Yes.
You know, and I think that that's really the terms that I would like to agree on in this, because I find it to be such a sensible middle ground, because a lot of the women that I saw and that I spoke to that were going through this, they were not in a situation that valued either the fetus's life or their own life. In many cases, they say, well, you got pregnant, you made that bad choice. You know, in many cases it was, well, you're getting kicked out of the house now. Or, you know, you're having this child I don't want to associate with you anymore. Or a deadbeat father was involved. I think I brought up that none of these, and again, these were not, I think 91% of abortions are like morning after format. I wasn't talking to these. I was talking to this 9%, you know, heartbeat issue. But they would have somebody says, well, if it's got this medical issue, I'm not going to be there for it. So either you get an abortion or else. You know, and so, or if it's got, or if, you know, it comes to this world at all, I don't want to support it, so I'm pulling my support. And a lot of these decisions were being made. Yes, it was the mother's choice at the end of the day, but was so heavily influenced by people that didn't care about her or that wouldn't help her out.
Yeah.
Was what I found. And so, what do you think some keys are to, I guess, creating this culture?
Yeah. Well, I think, first and foremost, we have condoms, we have birth control, we have these preventative measures already, right? So if you are sexually active without taking the precautions of birth control or a condom, aren't you right then and there kind of already kind of making a choice? You're rolling the dice, you're making a gamble.
Yeah.
I want to see the culture change to where that kind of, when I was growing up, it was a big deal that was talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really heard, I mean, you know, I'm in my 30s now, I'm far from school, but I just don't see it as relevant these days as I used to. Just kind of the openness about it, but we do have birth control. We do have condoms. They're easily accessible.
Right. Back when you and I were growing up, it was a controversy even teaching about them. Like, guess what? The condom exists. And now it's like you can pick up condoms from your like main office at a high school. I mean, it's just they're like candy. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, a condom. Yes, I will take one.
Yes. And that's the thing. We have that there. So if you're making that choice to not use that, then you're also making the choice that you could get pregnant. And it's a choice you got to live with. I mean, you know, if you don't want a baby, we have the preventative measures. This isn't the 1200s where these don't exist, you know?
Well, and they existed in the 1200s. Abortions have been performed for hundreds of years. There's herbs that you can eat that will actually kill the fetus or some that you can eat and actually some that you can insert vaginally that will make it so the lining falls off. There's a lot of I forget exactly what they are. It got ingested a lot in like the Trail of Tears, but it is something that's been going on for a long time. But yeah, like you said, this isn't something where you have to resort to a coat hanger, or I guess in the means of you're talking about contraceptives. This is not we're not on the pullout method anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah, that's what we're, you know, there are more effective forms of birth control than that nowadays.
Exactly.
Right.
This isn't new information, you know. These have been around, man. And if you choose to not do that, then you better be ready to buckle up for the choices that could happen based on what you chose, you know. Yeah. Is my philosophy on it.
Yeah,
I just now had my first child Mm-hmm. You know, at 31, cool. I had her, she's going to be 10 months soon. I made that choice because I was ready to have a baby. Right. But you know what? I don't have any babies before that. You know what I'm saying? Because I was not ready to have a baby. So
because
he
was 100% abstinent, everybody. He's a nerd.
Exactly. You know, so I mean, I followed those rules and I never got put in that position where I had to make that choice, you know?
Right. And I think as long as we come to the agreement that we don't make those choices for other people either, I think that's really where we come down.
Exactly.
And creating that culture that loves not just the life of a fetus, but the life of the person carrying the fetus. And that we we create that loving. I think that this is so important to me as a libertarian because I am so freedom based to say that this is not just what people want to make it one or the other. It's either the fetus or me, you know, and this is so much something that's manufactured by the Republicans or Democrats. They don't give two dams about you after you're born or they, you know, but they'll regulate the crap out of you while you're pregnant or they just say, oh yeah, go ahead, treat it like candy, you know, like, you know, let's have more, you know, who cares? Have these recreational abortions without really looking into all of the issues going into those abortions. Why the misery, the quality of life is so low among people that are considering especially midterm abortions. It's just so low. And that's personal observation. I don't want anybody saying like, what you're saying, my life is miserable. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this is personal experience as well as some generalities that I'm making. You know, that we understand. But the idea is that we should improve those qualities of life. That we should really focus on the love as opposed to the hate. People,
absolutely.
Like you said, people are looking for who to prosecute as opposed to what can we do to prevent this next time? You know, shouldn't the pro-life stance be really interested in loving somebody and saying, you know, I love life and I want life to thrive as opposed to just, I want life to exist, you know, and really that's what it means to be pro-life to me. Now, we're at 30 minutes right now. We got to do some closing statements. That will be mine. That's kind of my two cents on it. I really do want a culture of life without necessarily having a politician be all up in your grill about it. And I'm so glad that we can at least come to that agreement. I was so glad to know both you and Alicia both came from kind of that mentality. And she sides on the pro-choice side of things and you side on the pro-life side of things. But ultimately, you both come to the conclusion that this is a decision that is best left to a community, to a family, to people who actually have the incentive to be involved instead of Washington, D.C. But go ahead. I'm going to give you the last word. I did want to shout out your Warrior Woodworks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I do have a Facebook and I also have an Instagram page. It's Warrior Woodwork is the pages and kind of the company. I build a lot of American flags. Like I kind of talked to you about earlier today, it's a lot of Americana military based stuff. Like I said, I served in the armed forces. I do now work up on a base as a civilian. Been around military my whole life, very passionate about it. A lot of stuff I build is military based or themed and Americana. I love America, man. Nothing. I got red, white, and blue running through these veins, man. So absolutely go check out Warrior Woodwork. Follow the page. I'm gonna be doing a giveaway here soon on that page. So go follow it.
Cool, man. All right. Well, Brandon, thanks again so much for coming on. Listeners, we appreciate you being. I just want to say I'm so impressed with everyone's discourse. Of course, it's natural to be drawn to extremes on this issue, but I am so impressed with this audience when we spoke to Alicia, and I hope once again, now that we've spoken to Brendan, of just the respect involved and the understanding of what we can do to help cultivate really just a better society in general. And part of this discourse is has gone a lot to help me see that it's possible to see that there are really level-headed people out there that are sharing their views as opposed to just the extremists. But again, really appreciate it. Brandon, great having you on. And until then, everybody, keep fueling the fires of liberty.